prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is September 9th, 2020. And today's show is really exciting to me because it's the culmination of many installments that we've done talking about sleep and memory consolidation over the years. We actually have some evidence on how it happens, which is very, very exciting. We'll be talking about that during the first hour of the show. Second hour of the show, we're going to talk about how to literally change your mood like that. So many of us, you know, we wake up in the morning and people say, oh, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you wish you could just start all over again? Or maybe you've been bickering with your significant other and you just wish you can do a reset. There's a way to do it. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Before we get started with any of that, of course, I have to thank my title sponsor, Legendary Foods. The website is eatlegendary.com. The coupon code is SHR10. For 10% off. If you're a low-carb, high-protein, keto, no-sugar, low-sugar kind of person, if you really want to snack and stay in your lane, there is no better company in the world than Legendary Foods. Eatlegendary.com. Check out their tasty pastry. If you were a fond lover of Pop-Tarts when you were a kid, but you don't eat them any longer because they're garbage, they're not anymore. The tasty pastry is basically a Pop-Tart with less than 1 gram of sugar, 7 grams of high leucine, high quality protein, and less than 3 to 4 impact carbohydrates. Check them out, Legendary Foods, eatlegendary.com. SHR10 is the code. Bring my guest on. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pantazopoulos. How are you?
Hi, Carl. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Yeah, this is, you know, we've actually talked about memory consolidation and sleep and fragmented sleep and Alzheimer's disease, dementia, all of these things that kind of fit into this nice, neat little wheelhouse that have been proven to be affected by poor sleep. But no one, I used to say during sleep, the hard drive defragments, you know, when you defrag your hard drive, it indexes everything. It puts it here so it knows it's there. And that's an oversimplification of the dramatic changes that occur in the brain during sleep. It's phenomenal. We're going to talk about it right now. It's so fascinating. One of the things that before we get started, what made you look specifically at this? What research preceded yours that this was required?
Okay, so there has been a large amount of research in trying to understand the mechanisms behind memory consolidation during sleep. Just trying to keep it concise to some extent, but there has been some, for a long time, we knew that a good night of sleep improves memory. We knew that it's critical for memory consolidation, but we really had no idea why. And we really didn't know much else in terms of the biological importance of sleep. And the field of sleep research in general has just had a big breakthrough in the last 10, 15 years because we've had excellent work from a group of researchers led by Chiara Cirelli and Dr. Tononi. So they have created what they call this synaptic homeostasis hypothesis. And they have shown in many, many studies that as we're awake during the day, we create a lot of connections or synapses in the brain for every new piece of information we see in our environment. We just accumulate connections. And then during sleep, as you were saying, sort of this defragmenting process, we just basically consolidate these connections. We can't continue to accumulate connections throughout life. The brain has a limitation. So during sleep, they have shown that you have what they believe is a broad reduction of connections or synapses. They're just downscaled is their term. They're broadly reduced, and we keep what are considered the important connections. And we probably move them to other areas in the brain for long-term storage. And during this time, there's another group of researchers that have been creating what they call a complementary or alternative hypothesis, where they believe that while you sleep, memories are replayed in the brain, probably during slow wave sleep and to some extent in REM sleep. And in this replay of memories, they're transferred from the short-term storage area in the hippocampus to long-term storage areas.
My neurons are accumulating right now. I have a lot of questions. I want to get to them before they disappear. So obviously, when someone sees someone they haven't seen in a long time, or someone talks about them that night, you dream of them. That dream is probably a function of the brain putting that somewhere where it can find it later, right? I mean, that it sounds to me like memory consolidation drives dream states, does it?
It probably does. Yeah, it's been very difficult for researchers to prove this, but a lot of the replay you see in terms of the firing of neuronal networks, that you'll see the same pattern that is created during the day during a particular learning task, that is replayed. And it's replayed in faster speed, actually, while you sleep, and particularly during REM sleep. And that's what's believed to be allowing the transfer of memories to long-term storage areas. So, yeah, it probably is part of dream states.
Do we set the hierarchy of what is considered, make that a weak memory, make that a strong memory? How does the brain decide what should be stored as a strong memory and what should be faded away as a weak memory?
That's an excellent question. So that's something that a lot of researchers are looking at, including us. My collaborator here at University of Mississippi Medical Center, Dr. Barbara Gisabella, a lot of her work is focused on that. And the perspective from her and from other researchers is it's weighted by what's considered biologically relevant. So parts of your brain that are involved in emotional processing or reward. For example, if you have a fearful situation, it's very critical that you remember that memory for survival. And on the other hand, in terms of positive memories, if something is rewarding in terms of food, it's very important that you remember where to find food for survival. So somehow the brain probably tags these memories so that they're strengthened rather than eliminated during sleep. That's one of the current theories. And how this happens in the molecular level is still largely unknown.
So REM sleep happens towards the morning. Everyone in my audience wears at least one sleep tracking device. I use three. And so we understand sleep architecture and the importance of sleep architecture. Every phase of sleep has a reason for occurring. As you age, people tend to not sleep as well. They tend to wake up earlier and earlier. REM sleep happens closer to the morning, and that's when dreaming happens, you know, a lot of dreaming. Deep sleep happens closer to the onset of sleep. Shortly after you fall asleep, you start to go into your very slow wave sleep. So people who don't sleep, so if someone goes to sleep and only ends up with 6 hours of sleep because they wake up early in the morning, they're not having that REM. These are the people that typically have memory problems, I've found.
That's right, exactly. And since you're pretty familiar with sleep stages, then it's correct that a lot of REM sleep happens closer towards the morning, but we don't just gradually go from slow. Yeah, we cycle through the stages over and over, and then they're more and more weighted towards REM sleep as you go through the cycles. Exactly.
So you are having REM sleep later in the evening, in the middle of sleep. I think for me, REM starts about at 1 a.m. in the morning. I have a pip of REM. And then maybe about an hour and a half later, I'll have another pip of REM. But as I get closer to about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, now they're not pips any longer. They're longer durations. I stay in REM for longer periods of time. I stay in REM for longer. I think most people who've tracked their sleep probably see something similar.
Exactly. That's correct.
Yeah. So another thing that was fascinating is the body gets to rest at night, but the reality is that the brain is working harder at night than it is during wakeful hours, right?
Harder, yeah. relatively so. It's working busier, very hard
busier.
At night.
It's busier. It's busier.
Right? Keeping busy, yeah.
Yeah. And so the fascinating part of your research, I have never heard anyone use the words brain and cartilage in the same sentence. We think of cartilage as this soft end of bones. We think of cartilage being in the joints, creating a viscous environment. We think of cartilage being, you know, allowing bones to move, be more flexible and pliable. But I've never thought of the brain as having cartilage. The brain, does the brain have cartilage in the same way cartilage is it a rigid structure that helps to keep the brain shaped?
So that was the original perspective of what we call brain cartilage. It's made out of the same, many of the same components that are in your joints, chondroitin sulfate, hyaluronan, that I'm sure you're pretty familiar with for joint cartilage. But it was described from hundreds of years ago, back from the time of Camilla Golgi, when he was making his hand sketches of
brain structure. The Golgi apparatus, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he had some nice, elegant structures of what looked like a meshwork around certain types of neurons, and he called those perineuronal nets. And as the field found out that they were composed of cartilage, they sort of discarded the importance of brain cartilage. They thought, as you described, that it's probably there for holding structural
like
integrity.
Like coral, right? The coral is really the house, and the living organism lives within the structure. So that was almost like the brain had this cartilage in it to keep it formed and in shape and sturdy.
Yes, well, so it doesn't collapse on itself into a pile of mush. And that's in one respect part of the role of brain cartilage. It is important for that structural support. But as we found out much more recently in the field of neuroscience, that brain cartilage is really complex and it has various roles throughout development and adulthood in terms of maintaining many, many normal processes in the brain. And its expression changes very early on in development. Brain cartilage is expressed by migrating cells, and it sort of creates highways to tell cells where to go or neurons where to go mm-hmm. in the right locations. But then as the brain continues to mature around late adolescence in a lot of brain areas, now we know that the cartilage forms these particular structures that I mentioned, these perineuronal nets around certain types of neurons. And when these nets form, they basically restrict synaptic plasticity. So they're going to hold in place what the brain deems good connections, and then they prevent the elimination of connections, but they also prevent the formation of new connections. And this happens in a lot of brain areas around late adolescence. And that's why we became interested in it about 15 or years ago or so, because I was in a research group where we were studying schizophrenia. And we know that schizophrenia, the onset occurs around late adolescence, and it's a disorder that's characterized by unstable synaptic plasticity and processing of information.
Okay, wait, hold it. So this is something we've talked about for a long time on the show. A lot of these neurological disorders, like schizophrenia, even bipolar disorder, as you point out, the onset is during puberty. And we know that sex hormones affect neural endocrine hormones as well. So I'm wondering if sex hormones play a role in the restructuring of cartilage in the brain.
I'm sure they probably do play an important role. That has really been not studied at all at the moment. The fact that we're looking at this in the aspect of sleep is really new.
Right.
But even the idea of looking at brain cartilage and structuring its role in structuring plasticity is just within the last 5 to 10 years. There have been some hints for sex-specific changes in brain cartilage, but there has not been good formal studies on this. I'm sure that these sex hormones have an important role.
Okay. So to kind of recap, the brain cartilage is designed as also as a containment, so neurons stay put. And the objective of making new memories is creating new synaptic connections, which means that neurons must have the ability to outgrowth or grow out of their current containment, which means that not only do we have to stimulate neuronal sprouting, but we have to turn off this mechanism whose role is to keep containment. How does that happen during the short period of sleep? This sounds like, you know, this is a lot going on in 8 hours at night.
Yeah, it is a lot going on. And you're right, that was the critical question that led us to our study, is if these meshes of cartilage around neurons are preventing new connections, then how does that theory of synaptic downscaling that we talked about earlier from Tononi and Chiarelli, how does that happen during sleep? The two just don't fit together. There has to be some adjustment on the cartilage network to allow for reorganization of synapses. Otherwise, nothing would change. We have hints in the literature from the last few years from fear conditioning studies where they introduce a fearful memory to a rodent, and they learn to associate a tone to a foot shock, for example, or memory studies where animals learn to associate an environment with cocaine or another rewarding substance. So from those studies, they've shown that these meshes of cartilage are actually degraded in a pretty rapid manner by endogenous proteases that the brain produces. These proteases are upregulated pretty quickly. They create holes or basically chew up parts of these cartilage nets, and they allow for formation of these synapses for the reward, the drug memory, or for the fearful memory. And as that goes back to what I was saying earlier about biologically relevant memories and how they're stronger.
Mm-hmm.
There's some excellent work from Barbara Sorg's laboratory for reward memories, for cocaine memories, where she shows that this rapid degradation in the net allows for these synapses to form for the cocaine memory. And then after these synapses form, the net reforms around the synapses, and basically it becomes even stronger, and it locks those drug memories in place. And they're very difficult to eliminate, and that's part of the problem for drug addiction, is those drug memories are really strong, and they're probably locked in place.
This is an important distinction. I don't want to just gloss over this. So a lot of people use the word addiction erroneously. They'll say sugar is addictive. No, sugar could be habit-forming. It's a reward. Truly addictive substances rewire the brain. Truly addictive substances harness this type of plasticity of the cartilage, obviously, and put it in gear so that, hey, we want to connect more. We want more of these neurons that love that chemical. We want to make this area bigger. That's interesting. So that plays a role in addiction, which means that through research, if we can figure out how to modulate and attenuate the cartilaginous changes in the brain, we may be able to reverse addiction.
Exactly, or at least create a strategy to be able
to halt addiction.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. Because I was going to ask you, I was going to wait later in the show to ask you this, but I'm just going to throw it out since we're talking about addiction and neuroplasticity driven by chemical desires. You know, there's a lot of really good research coming out about drugs like LSD. The College of London is doing some great research in major depressive disorder with it. We have a very, very significant and growing population in the United States, including me, that microdoses, because we are told that it can increase neuroplasticity and keep the brain growing, so to speak, or youthful, so to speak. These drugs don't create addiction because they don't preferentially increase just this type of neuron. But what they do is they alter the trajectory of neurons. And I met Dr. Timothy Leary at UNLV in 1987. And I had done a lot of acid as a kid when I was in high school. And so we were having this conversation, and back then he said that those who were working in that field believed that LSD allowed the right and left hemisphere to communicate directly by directing neuronal sprouting to go around the corpus callosum. So the data sharing network of the brain was bypassed. So that this is why you had what is it called? This kinesthesia. You could, you know, you can see smells and all that. He said, and that actually has been proven now. A few years, about 4 years ago, a study showed that LSD in rodents caused the right and left hemisphere to start sending neurons directly into each other. And so the reason I mention this is because this is another fascinating area to understand what turns that cartilage reformation on and off, even outside of sleep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are several things that probably do that.
Really? Like what?
Well, it's some of the medications for psychiatric disorders, for depression, seem to be doing that. So selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as fluoxetine, from some of the limited rodent studies, seem to decrease the cartilage, probably to increase synaptic connections, as you were saying. And valproic acid seems to have similar effects from what we know so far. But yeah, you bring up a really good point in terms of how psychedelics, at least at low doses, have that potential to basically open up these windows of brain plasticity. And it's something that's been brought up a bit more recently by a few researchers. We have a graduate student that's been very interested in down the road trying to look at how low-dose psychedelics might alter the brain cartilage. And can that be used in a good way, therapeutically? Yeah.
So talk about your research. So you set out to discover if, in fact, this phenomenon was occurring, this reformation of the cartilage to accompany memory consolidation. How did you do that?
So I have been studying the nets, perineural nets, so these structures that are formed by the cartilage in schizophrenia for a number of years. And we had been doing it with human postmortem brain samples from people with schizophrenia and controlled donors. So what I first did is I had this data set from the brain, human postmortem brain samples in a few brain areas. And it's really difficult to look at things that are supposed to be cycling on the 24-hour scale in dead tissue samples
right.
at that point.
Right.
And it's been a challenge, but what we did is we adopted a method from another group at UC Davis where they use time of death as sort of a proxy for circadian time for each subject. So in that case, if you have enough samples throughout the 24-hour cycle, you start seeing relationships
patterns.
Would make sense.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we looked at our data set on perineural nets, and we saw that there was what appeared to be a circadian rhythm in the number of nets that are tagged by we use a plant lectin that picks up a particular sulfation motif on the sugar chains of these molecules. And that's a whole long conversation in terms of how these sugar chains are modified and goes into the complexity of these structures in the brain.
Yeah, they must undergo some sort of flux as they become more pliable and malleable or more rigid, and you can tell what stage of the game they are at a given time.
Exactly. Yeah, and they can make them more chemorepellent or chemoattractive in a way. And it's been one of the challenges, for example, in spinal cord research, looking at these. But I don't want to go too far off topic.
Okay.
So we saw this rhythm in our postmortem brain samples for tagged perineural nets. And you have to take everything with a grain of salt with postmortem brain studies. It gave us a very good clue, but we had to confirm this. So we went with mouse studies where we can control the environment. We can control the light-dark cycle. So we took groups of mice, put them in these well-controlled light-dark conditions in running wheels, so we can measure their circadian rhythm by their locomotor activity. So then we we sacrifice these mice every 4 hours throughout the 24-hour cycle and basically repeat the analysis on the brain structures that we did in human studies. And this confirmed that these rhythms were real in these tagged perineural net structures in the brain. We looked at a number of brain regions that are involved in emotional memory processing. That's what we focused on, but they probably occur throughout the brain.
So does light play a role in this? Because rodents are nocturnal, are they? Or maybe I'm wrong. Are rodents nocturnal?
Yeah, exactly.
What does this say to the shift worker that works at Amazon and goes to work at 10 p.m. and doesn't get home until 9 a.m. in the morning, then goes to sleep? Is this inappropriate sleep hygiene, which it is? This is one of the diseases of modernity, not sleeping at night. Does that affect the memory consolidation? We know it affects memory consolidation. Do you think it affects the plasticity of this cartilage?
We believe so. So if somebody is on that that night shift for long enough, they would entrain to their new cycle. So at that point, after maybe 1 to 2 weeks, their memory processing would return. We would predict to relatively normal.
Right.
But it's that changing back and forth from the night shift. So they may have a night shift work for a week or two, and then they have a few days off where they return to a normal schedule, and that throws everything off, and you have to re-entrain to the new cycle. That's a major problem for shift work.
Let me see how I want to phrase this. Poor memory structure, like in dementia, like in Alzheimer's disease, and any disease that causes you not to be able to remember things, is it more a result of the lack of plasticity and the collagen, the cartilage cooperating with neuronal sprouting, or is it that it's just wide open, free form, and everything is just going anywhere it wants? Is it too constrained or not constrained enough?
So that will depend on the disorder, of course. So we believe that, for example, in schizophrenia, it's likely not constrained enough because you have an absence or reduction of this brain cartilage. And that seems to fit with some of the symptoms of schizophrenia. In dementia or Alzheimer's disease, we have some work early on, and a few other labs do, suggesting that these nets are really chewed up or degraded. So it's probably that, again, a lack of constriction, but there's some work from a couple of other labs in the UK. James Fawcett is one of them, and Jessica Kwok, and they believe that there's – so this is where it gets a little complex. The brain cartilage forms these structures called perineural nets, but there's also brain cartilage throughout that are not part of these structures, and they have a different type of sulfation and a different type of property. And they're largely produced by astrocytes and microglia, mm-hmm. some of the brain mm-hmm. immune cells. So it seems to be that in Alzheimer's, the evidence suggests that there's a lot of this, what they call chondroitin 4 sulfate, that's highly restrictive. So you may have less of these nets, but you have a lot of this other brain cartilage throughout the brain that's restricting synaptic plasticity. It's restricting neuronal connections in general. So they've been using a strategy where they try to target this cartilage by reducing it to improve memory processing in Alzheimer's.
And is it working? Are they having any results? Too soon to tell?
Early on, it's promising. Right now it's studies in mice, and they seem promising, but to bring it up to the level where we can try this on humans, it still has a long way to go.
I want to take a quick commercial break. I've got lots more questions. This is fascinating stuff. And when we come back from the break, I want to So we have a scientist who is coming on the show to talk about the fact that, and I've talked about this for at least the past 8 or 9 years, osteoarthritis is a slow-moving autoimmune disorder. It is akin to rheumatoid arthritis, but slightly different. But it's not a function of mechanical loading. We know that now because we know that obese people get osteoarthritis in their neck and their hands, and they're not mechanically loading their head. Their head isn't that much heavier than the rest of us. And so we know that chondrocytes are being attacked by inflammation. I want to talk about inflammation in the brain for a second and just kind of ask your opinion. I know this isn't necessarily something that you're working on directly, but maybe you have some insights from colleagues or other research, okay?
Sure.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrine, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA.
Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more
at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Among the easiest and most popular ways to experience the life-altering benefits of hemp, Planet Earth CBD soft gels offer fast-acting effects as they release quickly. Made in a GMP-compliant, USFDA-registered facility, you can count on Planet Earth safe soft gels. These soft gels provide temporary relief from pain and so much more. Manufactured with a calming combination of chamomile and melatonin, you got yourself a long-needed CBD solution. 25 milligrams of nano-emulsified hemp extract per serving with anti-inflammatory agency, Planet Earth sleep-supporting soft gels will have you forgetting about today's work. Worries for a better tomorrow. Unwind with Planet Earth CBD today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Harry Pantazopoulos. We're talking about some fascinating research that gives rise to insights on how the brain actually forms memories at night and stores them when you're asleep. I want to thank Chrisise Fox. I couldn't think of the word synesthesia before. I was saying kinesthesia. So thank you for posting that. Also, I want to remind everybody, if Superhuman Radio has helped you in any way, shape, or form, would you please send your story to us? Take your iPhone or smartphone, point it at yourself, talk to me like you're talking to me. Keep it under 3 minutes and upload it to shrnetwork.biz/your story. We're putting together a montage. And I don't care if you, maybe there's something you don't like about me. Maybe I mispronounce words. I'm from Brooklyn. So, you know, put that down too if you want. But I'd appreciate it if you took a minute and sent me your story about what the show has done for you. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is kind of – I know this is kind of outside the discussion that we're in right now, but it can't be ignored. Cartilage and chondrocytes are being attacked by chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation is a big problem today. It goes with obesity and insulin resistance and so on and so forth. I wonder if inflammation is playing a role in the degradation of the cartilage in the brain the way it does the cartilage in the joints or the cartilage anywhere else throughout the body.
It may. That's a very important question. So that really converges on some of the work we've been doing for schizophrenia and some of our collaborators do for Alzheimer's disease, because we know that the cartilage in those disorders, the brain cartilage is reduced. And there's a lot of research going on in terms of the role of inflammation in schizophrenia. It became a pretty popular theory at a point not too long ago that they say that the brain is on fire because a lot of the inflammatory molecules, at least the signaling cascades for those molecules, are upregulated in gene expression studies in schizophrenia. It's been a complex question because nobody's been able to find the smoking gun for inflammation in schizophrenia. You just don't see activated astrocytes or activated microglia consistently in schizophrenia. So when this occurs and does it occur consistently enough has been an ongoing question. But we know that these brain cells that are involved in inflammation produce a lot of the endogenous proteases that degrade brain cartilage. So they have the capacity to cause this degradation of brain cartilage in an inflammatory state. And we see some of these conditions. For example, we see hints of them from spinal cord injury and from epilepsy. We see that, for example, there's a degradation of a lot of these perineural nets early on when there's an inflammatory condition or an injury to the brain or neural tissue. But together with that degradation of the matrix, then you have a lot of cells, immune cells and support cells that will just migrate to that area of inflammation. And they'll start making a lot of that other chondroitin sulfate that I mentioned earlier that people think is causing that restriction in Alzheimer's disease. It just starts producing it all around that injured area, probably as like a quick way to try to control the situation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. In some ways, it creates problems because it creates a lot of restriction for rewiring or recovery of the brain.
Does schizophrenia affect male or females to a greater degree? Just curious.
It affects both. There's some sex specific differences, but it's not really heavily weighted for one or the
other. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. So, getting back to the discussion at hand about your research, which is fascinating to me. We also know that there are dietary contributions to the formation of cartilage, different types of collagen fibers. Vitamin C is critical in the formation of collagen into cartilage. Is there any room for discussion about a dietary role in helping this phenomenon in the brain occur? Let's say you're getting good sleep, but there's still something missing. The cartilage isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Could there be a dietary role here?
That's an excellent question. And it's something that I've been discussing a lot with my collaborator, Dr. Barbara Gisabella here. She's really interested in the role of nutrition and dietary supplements and how they can help brain processing. The difficulty with translating it at the moment in terms of these cartilage structures is that, as we were talking about before, there's different types of cartilage in the brain and they have different roles. And these structures that are involved in what we believe in memory consolidation during sleep, the perineural nets, they're highly complex. And you can take things in your diet that might promote some of the forms of brain cartilage or chondroitin sulfate, but are they going to specifically promote formation or strengthening of these structures? Probably not, and there has to be there's something there that we're not unlocking yet, some clue in terms of how can we get them to contribute to these structures specifically versus contributing to that some of the other matrix that's across the brain, maybe yeah. some of the matrix. Yeah,
the blood-brain barrier is really a challenge, right? I mean, so here's an interesting thought. About 10 years ago, I interviewed a doctor named Dr. Alan Dunn, who has since, I believe, passed away because his website has been taken down. And he was in Florida, and he used to do intra-articular growth hormone injections for people who were scheduled to have knee replacement surgery. And 20 IUs in a collagen matrix directly into the synovial capsule once a week for 3 weeks, and then you went home. And then you came back 6 months later, and in all instances, blood vessels infiltrated out of the knee, cartilage, chondrocytes accumulated, and sure enough, he was regrowing cartilage. Now, a lot of people think this is fascinating, but anybody who's hung around the bodybuilding and powerlifting world for any length of time knows bodybuilders abuse growth hormone. They'll take 10, 15, even 20 IUs a day for weeks and months. They experience joint crowding the same way people with acromegaly do. The cartilage grows so rapidly, so greatly, that there's no room in the joint. They start getting pain in their knees, in their hands. They start getting proud joints because you can see the joint is undergoing structural changes. So taking those two and putting that on the table, what about intranasal growth hormone?
It's really fascinating that you ask about that, because it's exactly what we've been working on with my collaborator, Barbara Gisabella. She's been interested in growth hormone and how that's improving brain connections. And she had a study published back when she was in MIT a few years ago, where they showed that if you increase growth hormone expression in the hippocampus, the area involved in spatial memory, contextual memory, using a viral vector in the mouse, you increase the number of connections or dendritic spines in that brain area. And then if you put those mice through a fear conditioning task where they learn to associate a stimulus to a fearful memory, the neurons that were expressing more growth hormone are much more likely to participate in encoding that fear memory. So growth hormone is strengthening memory processing. And since then, since she's worked with me on the brain cartilage studies, we're trying to understand how growth hormone potentially can be interacting with the brain cartilage changes during sleep. Because we know that growth hormone systemically throughout the body cycles during sleep.
Yeah, you get a very, very big pulse about an hour and a half into sleep. It happens usually during deep sleep. That's
exactly.
And then in men and women, it pulses throughout the day, but the most significant production is right there during sleep.
That's right. And we're looking at whether you're getting the same pulse in the brain for growth hormone, and is that contributing to some of the changes we see in brain cartilage and connections during sleep. Trying to use intranasal growth hormone administration, it would be a great approach.
Another thing to stack it with would be there's a fascinating peptide that is all the rage today, and you probably have heard of it because it's really becoming very mainstream, and it's called Body Protection Complex, BPC-157. And a lot of athletes use it to speed recovery and soft tissue injuries. I mean, it speeds recovery. There are athletes out there like rock climbers. They've had brachial tendonitis for 7 years. They do BPC-157 for 2 weeks. It's gone, and it's gone forever. So I would – I mean, if I was going to venture – and, I'm kind of a a part-time compounding pharmacist at home. So I would use growth hormone and BPC-157 in an intranasal delivery and see what that does to the cartilage in the brain. That would be fascinating. My question to you is, the brain is designed to be completely self-dependent. It makes its own insulin when it needs it. It makes its own estradiol from androgens through aromatization. It does all these things on its own because it does not ever want to depend on the systemic delivery of anything. So it makes what it needs. But at the same time, doesn't systemic growth hormone, I mean, growth hormone is produced in the brain and it's delivered systemically. If you're taking subcutaneous growth hormone injections, doesn't it get to the brain?
That's been still a question. We believe it gets to the brain. There's people that still have a doubt of whether it crosses the blood-brain barrier and how effective is it. But like you said, the brain produces its own growth hormone, so it doesn't need to cross the brain. But administering it intranasally would be a more direct, efficient way for reaching the brain. But there are plenty of studies where people use growth hormone replacement therapy for various disorders where you do have changes in the brain with long-term administration. And looking throughout the literature, there are changes within memory function, memory processing that you see sporadically throughout these studies. So the potential is there for altering or improving memory, or in case of growth hormone deficiency, memory deficits. And as we were saying earlier, in terms of aging, as you know, growth hormone levels decrease with age. So that could be part of the reason why we have memory problems as we get older.
The thing that really fascinates me about your research is that about 6 or 7 years ago, I interviewed somebody, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name. It was a fascinating discussion, but his research showed that fascia of muscle, that we think it's just structural, it's just there to keep muscle attached to bone, actually is kind of like a network, a communication network. And this is seen in proprioception. Let's be honest. No one doubts proprioception exists. The Golgi apparatus tells us not to push too hard so we don't shear a muscle. So there's this constant communication going on. So soft tissue is becoming more and more fascinating to me. And this just kind of adds to it. You know, we think muscle is everything, but soft tissue is going to turn out to be an organ. You know how we just recently they said, oh, you know, muscle's an organ. We knew that fat could produce hormones. Now we know muscle produces hormones. And now the next thing they're going to say is, oh, soft tissues, it produces hormones. It's an organ. So, you know, it's like it's all coming. We're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the discussion. I find this stuff very fascinating. If anybody has any questions, please post them. We'll be right back with more.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it,
you'll gain with it.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamin, Salbutamin, Theocrine, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on. Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack. When craving a snack, reach for a Select Savory Snack sugar-free biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Harry Pantazopoulos. We're talking about some fascinating research that shows just how the brain consolidates memory during sleep and why sleep is so important, why it's so important. So what do you want clinicians to take away from this research? We have a lot of physicians that listen to the show, a lot of scientists.
So in terms of for clinicians, we're not there yet in how to use this for clinical practice, but I would like for clinicians to consider basically the importance as they always do, the importance of sleep for memory processing especially as you get older, but to start thinking about how we can use our knowledge of sleep and memory processing to treat people after a traumatic experience, such as to prevent PTSD, and how we can use some of these strategies to help people overcome addiction, to weaken drug reward memories. We're not there yet in terms of creating some sort of compound, or even leveraging some dietary compounds, how to manipulate these proteases and have some more control over this process. But we can at least manipulate sleep cycles. So maybe after a traumatic experience, is it important to prevent sleep for a certain time window? To weaken that memory consolidation so that somebody doesn't develop PTSD. And maybe we can use some of this knowledge on trying to help people overcome reward memories.
In fact, we know that benzodiazepines, one of the unwanted effects of using benzos for sleep, is it impairs memory consolidation. And they use benzos specifically now when someone has had a traumatic situation, a rape, witnessed a murder. They'll give them Ativan or some similar benzodiazepine, not just to calm them down, but because it makes the memory seem further and further away. That must have a role. I wonder what it does to the cartilage.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. It'd be fascinating to see what it does to the brain cartilage. We're testing a few orally administered compounds at the moment to see if that can prevent the degradation of brain cartilage during sleep. Or can we promote the degradation of brain cartilage when you're awake? But it would be interesting to compare it to benzodiazepines. And that's one of the problems of why benzodiazepines, they're a helpful sleep aid, but they're not a perfect sleep aid. And there is no perfect sleep aid.
Because they all alter sleep architecture. I'm not going to mention any names, but one of the most popular drugs prescribed by doctors for sleep has been now tied to the development of insulin resistance. And it makes perfect sense because I say this on the show all the time. If I hit you in the head with a hammer and you lay still for 8 hours, would you get up and go, man, I had the best sleep? No, of course not. But you laid, just because you lay still with your eyes closed for 8 hours doesn't mean you're sleeping. Some of these drugs, they make you lay still for 8 hours, but you're not going through the rhythmicity of proper sleep. And that has all sorts of biological effects and probably memory too.
Yeah. No, and you're right. It has very important effects for metabolism, for development of diabetes, cardiovascular disease. It's critical. And there is no good sleep aid that recreates proper sleep architecture, like you said. And your analogy for hitting somebody over the head with a hammer to help sleep, it's a good analogy for what some people or a lot of researchers have been doing to manipulate these perineural nets for the brain cartilage studies in mice. They use something called chondroitinase ABC, which basically wipes out all chondroitin sulfate in the brain. And it's really like hitting the cartilage with a sledgehammer, right, or a bomb and just clearing it out. So you're not only eliminating those nets, you're eliminating all of that support structure and causing a lot of short-term changes within the brain. So those studies, whatever we know from them, we have to take with a grain of salt. So that's why we're trying to create or come up with some compounds that we can administer to recreate the rhythmicity more selectively in these perineural nets or in these structures that we think are involved in regulating synapses. We want to get more of a natural control over this process.
I think your work is fascinating, and I hope that we hear from you again as you learn more, because this is really important stuff. I mean, sleep is like the ocean. You know, we really don't know a whole lot. You know, we look out there and we go, oh, there's a whole universe out there we don't know anything about. And sleep is the same way. We're just really starting to understand sleep now, I think, for the first time.
Yeah, just at the beginning of our understanding, exactly.
Yeah, so this is fascinating stuff. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking with you and being on your show.
And I'm going to give intranasal growth hormone a try. I have some growth hormone home. I'm going to put it – I actually make my own intranasal preparations at home, so I'm going to give it a try. Listen, thank you so much. I look forward to talking again.
Thank you. Me too.
Take care. We're going to take one more commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. David Rabin to talk about a way to change your mood like that. And I found out it works yesterday. Those of you who tuned into the show know about it. I talked about it yesterday. So let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Where's my music?
Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman. Did you know that your gut is referred to as your second brain? In fact, at least 90% of your serotonin, your happiness chemical, is created in your gut. If you don't take care of your gut, you won't feel good, period. Bioptimizers recently released Cognibiotics, a new breakthrough probiotic formula that is clinically proven to enhance your brain function, your mood, and overall mental health. Most probiotics often include conflicting strains or quantities and can cancel each other out. Cognibiotics delivers the exact strain you need in exactly the right ratios and quantities. With a 365-day, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee, you can try them out for yourself to start feeling the incredible difference Cognibiotics makes in your mood, mind, and performance. For an exclusive offer to my listeners, go to cognibiotics.com/SHR. That's cognibiotics.com/SHR and use code SHR10. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DRSEEDS.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carbs, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
When craving a snack, reach for a Select Savory Snack sugar-free biltong, the healthy alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. They use a fattier cut of beef, making it more tender and flavorful. For mealtime, choose from their 63 seasonings, which are sugar and additive-free. From chipotle rub to savory pumpkin spice, you'll find an option to suit your palate. Go to shrnetwork.biz/SSS today. Use code SHR15 to save 15% on any meat snack or seasoning. Savor the flavor today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're joined by Dr. David Rabin. How you doing?
Good, thanks, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here. So, yesterday, I came into the studio after a long weekend off. Every single piece of equipment was dead.
Oh no!
Yes, and I had to be on the air in an hour. You know, it was just I'm just going to go in and Tuesday's an easy day for me. The Blueprint Power Hour. Coach Rob Regish does all the heavy lifting. I'm kind of his Ed McMahon. I'm cool and calm. Nothing's working. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So when I built this studio, I had come from Clear Channel. So I had come from a broadcast station. And I know what equipment they have. And I have all the same equipment here that they had there. Well, I have this massive, uninterruptible power supply that literally would run all the lights and everything in this office for days if I needed it to. Because when I first started doing the show, my stream was up 24 hours a day playing old episodes of my show. So I thought of myself as a radio station. Well, the UPS went away. When I realized what it was, I was so freaked out. I was like, I got to cancel a show. And then I thought about it. I grabbed my phone. I went to the app. And I just turned on the relax mode on my Neuro.
And that's the one that worked for you last time, I think.
All of a sudden, it was the weirdest thing. I just felt in control all of a sudden. I felt like, okay, I know what I can do. So I called around a couple places I know that carry heavy-duty UPSs like that. I had my motorcycle, so I can't go pick up a 60-pound UPS. I go to my neighbor next door. Hey, can you drive me? Take my car. I came back, I plugged everything in. I unplugged everything. I plugged everything in. I plugged it in. Everything, and I did my show. Amazing. And I talked about it on the air yesterday. This Apollo Neuro, And I said on the show yesterday, how would you like to be able to alter your mood on demand? How many times have we woke up in the morning and our significant other said, oh, somebody got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. And yeah. Deep down inside, you know, I wish I could just flip a switch and not feel like this. I realize I don't like the way I'm acting. And maybe it's just I can say Apollo Neuro did it because for me it didn't. Yesterday it really calmed me down. But it's like if you really are in a stage of your day where you think to yourself, man, I would give anything not to feel like this right now. Here it is. Go to the app, turn it on, choose a mode, and you're there. Getting ready to go to the gym, you don't feel like going to the gym? Turn it on, energize, go to the gym. It's really amazing. It's an amazing device. I don't think enough people understand. We talk about biohacking, about things that really aren't biohacks at all.
Sure. But
this is really a biohack.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the way that you talk about it and the experiences you've had. And I think, you know, one of the things that you talk about that is so well put is this idea of when we're under stress because something bad happened or possibly multiple things happened that didn't go the way we expected, and it sets off that stress response inside of us, we start to worry, we start to have these, you know, anxious thoughts and the constant, it can be completely overwhelming. And I think when we do something like taking a deep breath in that moment or engaging in activity that calms us down, if we have the peace of mind to do it, which most of the time we don't, but if we do, then it brings us a sense of presentness that helps us understand the opportunities to fix the situation we're in, right? Whether that's improving our mood so that we can have a better day and not be irritable with our loved ones, or whether it's fixing the UPS and figuring out a solution for that without losing it, or whether it's going to the gym when we don't feel like going to the gym, right? It's all of these transitions that we don't expect that kind of, that's like throwing a wrench into the gear system. And then you have to figure out not just how to get, not just, okay, I'm going to get angry about this, but what do I actually do to solve the problem? And to do that, we have to be present with ourselves in the moment. We have to bring ourselves back to the moment where the problem is occurring and recognize that it is in the present only that we have the opportunity to shift our outcomes from the situation. Thinking about how angry we are does not actually solve the problem.
Right.
It actually just makes it worse. So bringing us back to the present is really what reverses that. And that's what Apollo does. And that's what it did for you in that moment. And also in other situations when you're really about to lose it because you can't believe your entire system's down, you throw it on, you turn it on, it brings you back into the present moment. And you recognize, wait a minute, let's actually take a look at what's going on. Maybe I can fix this. You figure out pretty quick. It's the UPS. You arrange to get a new one. You get one and you're back online, right?
That's such a great metaphor for day-to-day life. I thought to myself, well, if I can't get a new UPS, I just won't do a show today. It was like before I used it, I was really angry. I'm like, I just had a 4-day weekend. I got to do a show today. What the hell? But it just so I had an idea. Like at that moment in time, I saw myself when I was still married, when two people start arguing and they dig their heels in. And they don't even remember why they're fighting. They're just so dug in to my sister used to say, don't give up all your men or something. She used to like some metaphor for like stand your ground. Mm-hmm. And imagine if both of them said, okay, turn your Apollo on and then like just reset. And they're like, hey, what are we arguing about? Like I saw like a really cool like Instagram video commercial where they're both arguing about something that's stupid. They go to their Apollo Neuros and they have a reset moment and they're like, hey, you know what? Let's go get dinner and everything is cool.
Yeah.
Because it really does. Whether it as you pointed out just now, it's like just the fact that you use it says to you, well, there's another way to handle this. Just right. That alone, just the recognition of that alone.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I think that's, you know, there is always another way, right? It's important to stand your ground to a point, and then it's important to compromise. And the whole way that we build relationships and that we maintain balance in our lives is through a constant compromise. We can't always be right, and sometimes being right isn't the most important thing, right? Sometimes it's about, you know, finding balance, making other people happy, making ourselves happy. And sometimes there's a balance in between there that you don't necessarily see unless you take a moment to allow yourself to see it. And I think that's what we miss a lot of the time in these very overwhelming situations where we tend to jump from one extreme to another, but we're missing the opportunity for balance that lies in the middle. And I just had an amazing interview with Dr. Phil Wolfson, who's one of the leaders in psychiatry right now worldwide. And he is talking about how health, which we often don't talk enough about, this idea of what is health, right? What is it to achieve health in our lives? And that it's really just balance. Bad things will happen. We can't stop those things from happening. Good things will happen. All we can do is try to increase the likelihood of good things happening as much as possible and enjoy them for as much as we can, right? And to learn as much as we can from the bad things that happen without judging ourselves for them and really just trying to make it a learning experience. It's just a balance. And achieving balance in these different experiences is what leaves us feeling fulfilled and happy at the end of the day and grateful.
I think I want to spend a little time today in this discussion. Now, first of all, my listeners can save 15% off the Apollo Neuro by using the URL shrnetwork.biz/Apollo Neuro. So just go there and you'll be able to buy it, use it. It's fantastic. Natalie, my social media person, uses it every night before bed, and she says it makes her go to sleep. I want to talk about what Apollo Neuro won't do, because I think that there might be some expectations about what Apollo Neuro does, and that, you know, if you have unrealistic expectations, everything is going to let you down.
Right.
So Apollo Neuro is not going to give you some euphoric feeling. You know, it's not going to make you go like, oh, you know, like a drug. What it does is it shifts your attention, and the vibration frequencies either elicit you to feel like I want to get up and do something, or I just want to chill. And those two things alone are the big impetuses for getting stuff done or relaxing. Now, I'll tell you one of the ways I'm just about to start using it. A lot of people talk about rest and digest. Today, I was eating my food while I was working, and in my head, I was having a conversation with imaginary people, which I do regularly, and explaining why diseases of modernity are shortening our lives and causing diseases. And one of those diseases of modernity is sitting here working and eating. No other animal on the planet does that. Every other animal eats. While they're eating, they're eating. Your dog doesn't scratch his ear with his right leg while his face is in the bowl. He's eating. The lion eats. We are the only species on the planet that eats while we're writing a letter or filing our nails or reads the friggin' box of cereal. Like, you know, it's like even like we're sitting there eating. Oh, let me read the back of the box. And so we have lost the ability to truly rest and digest. And that's leading to GERD and all sorts of digestive problems. I am going to start using my Apollo Neuro before every meal. Before every meal, I'm going to turn it on to the relax mode for just a short. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do a lengthy period. I'm just going to try 5 minutes to get myself in that groove. And then when I eat, I'm just going to eat. I'm not going to do anything else. And I just want to see what changes I notice over the course of the next couple weeks. I want to see. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to start experimenting around. I think the meditation and mindfulness mode I would recommend too for that.
Yeah.
I think the, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, you know, Apollo is not a drug. And we actually developed in the way we did because I mostly work as an addiction psychiatrist and I treat treatment-resistant trauma and depression. And many of my patients have substance use issues that are either prescription medicine or recreational drugs that cause a lot of problems in terms of their decreased ability to recover from their illnesses. And so we purposefully developed Apollo in the way we did to not be a drug. And it's not a magic button that you can press and expect it's going to instantly change the way you feel automatically by itself. What Apollo is doing, is, as you said, Carl, is it helps facilitate or catalyze our own ability to change the way we feel. So we all possess the ability to shift ourselves from a calm state to a more energetic and more stressed state in the case of going from rest to physical activity or to intense cognitive focus at work and things like that. And we also have the ability to calm ourselves down. And unfortunately, we're not often taught in our society how to do this as easily as we can. Breath work, for instance, changing the speed of our breath is the fastest way to help us either ramp up with fast, deep breathing or to ramp down with slow, deep breathing. And fast, shallow breathing can also ramp us up. So there's different ways that you can get used to breathing differently to change the way that you feel. And so based on that knowledge, which has actually been very deeply studied in the field of biofeedback, which is fascinating, which is basically quantifying the effects of deep breathing on the body and the heart and the lungs, we've seen that you can replicate these same effects with sound waves like Apollo. And so Apollo, again, does not just automatically put you into a state. If you say, I'm really angry and I want to stay angry, but you set it to relax, it's probably not going to work very well for you because you want to be angry. And if you want to be falling asleep, but you drink a cup of coffee and you put it on sleep mode, it's probably not going to make you fall asleep.
Right.
That being said, it helps to align your goals with the stimuli from the environment that helps basically facilitate transition from state A to state B.
Right.
So it's not magically going to change the way you feel, but when you do apply these frequencies to the body through the emotional nervous system that's very tightly connected to the touch nervous system, it helps to facilitate smoother transitions. And this is effectively, I think, going back to something that's very interesting that we all know, or most of us know in our regular day-to-day society. This is actually something that Bruce Lee talked about quite a bit. Bruce Lee was so fast and such an unbeatable adversary in martial arts. He was really one of the most tremendous we've ever seen. And part of the reason was because he was maximally present with his environment. And he talks about this, always listening, always flowing with the environment. There's no resistance from one state to another. Everything just constantly flows. And so the closer we can get to that flow on a continuous basis, which the Buddhist monks and the Hindu yogic monks call a walking meditation. So it's not taking time to just go sit in a corner and meditate with your legs crossed, but actually be in a present, mindful state of your environment as much as possible at all times of our lives. That is the closer we get not only to peak performance, but also to peak recovery. And going back to the idea of health and balance, we must, in our society, and this is something that I think has been a big challenge for us, we must balance peak performance with peak recovery, or we will not be able to continuously peak perform.
Yeah, no, that's when you break. So, that's when you actually break. You break something.
And that's when you burn out. Right. And that's what Apollo really helps to facilitate, is it helps to facilitate these transitions from this peak performance only mind state. I must be at my peak all the time. I must suck it up. I must keep going, like the Energizer Bunny. Right. We all have all these metaphors in our society for this. And it helps to remind us that we must focus on rest and digest. We must focus on peak recovery states equally to peak performance states, or we will burn those batteries out.
What I noticed yesterday was, so when I was lifting very heavy, especially in the squat, I used to start thinking about squatting the night before because I would be worried, you know, what am I going to injure myself?
Mm-hmm.
And when I would get the bar on my back, I used to call it the noise in my head. There was all this noise in my head, this distraction. It was like and the best strength athletes have the ability to completely lock that out. Mm-hmm. Block that out, right? What I noticed yesterday was when I flipped the Apollo on and my brain focused on that feeling, right? Because I'm looking to feel it. Oh, I feel it now. Oh, yeah. It's the same thing as a mantra, right? Mm-hmm. When you repeat a mantra over and over again, a word that has no meaning or a sound, you're focusing on this one thing. All that other chatter just falls by the wayside because you're focusing on this one thing. And I noticed it yesterday, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, my head just got clear because I'm sensing, I'm paying attention, I'm focusing on the Apollo. And I thought right. to myself, wow, you know, that's an amazing phenomenon. I first experienced this phenomenon when I lived in Las Vegas. If anybody has ever mindlessly dialed a phone, a real phone that has dial tone and a ringtone, and then maybe you're distracted and you're talking and you realize, oh, I dialed the phone, and you bring it to your ear and you hear this pause of silence that you think, oh, they must have picked up. And you go, hey, Joe. And then all of a sudden you hear another ringtone and you go, like, the pause was so long that couldn't have been the. So when you become narrowly focused on everything, on something, one thing, a pinpoint, time slows down.
Right.
Right? Bandwidth increases. All the bandwidth is focused mm-hmm. on that. Then everything, it's almost like everything slows down. And that's what happened when I put it on yesterday. I felt like all of a sudden I was focusing on the vibration and I felt like everything slowed down. And I remembered, you know, this is that hyperfocal effect of a mantra when you're saying the mantra over and over again in your head and everything else just kind of just fades away. That's another right. astonishing thing that I noticed about it. It caused me to stop the chatter in my head about how am I going to do a show and whatever, da, 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 and just focus on that. And then it was like, oh, okay, I was relaxed. So yeah, that's another
phenomenon. Yeah, that's the first thing that we actually noticed when we first discovered these frequencies in the lab at the University of Pittsburgh. We would put them on our bodies and, you know, being males growing up and with Jewish mothers,
yeah.
you know, we have a lot of chatter in our brains.
Yes.
And so
yes.
noticing that we put this on our body and we almost instantly had this kind of like noise canceling effect of these negative intrusive thoughts or busy thoughts that we really normally would always be going in there. It just immediately brought us back down into our bodies and back into the present. And that's actually what we've seen in our pilot clinical trials looking at elite athletes is they're able to improve peak performance. And then also the cognitive folks improve cognitive performance because of exactly what you were describing. It brings them much closer to a flow state,
right.
which is being more present with the moment in the moment that you're in right now. And you know, people have talked about this for a long time. Ram Dass talks about this with Be Here Now. There are many others that talk about this, but if you have the inner game of tennis, which is written by the famous USC tennis coach, all of these are different ways of talking about the exact same thing, which is presentness, flow, and the traditional practice of meditation and mindfulness, which is rooted in breath, bringing us back into the moment, into our bodies. And what's really interesting is the more that we practice that, whether it's with Apollo's help or whether it's just on our own, the more we practice it, the better we get at actually slowing down time. So it really makes you realize how much control we each have over our perception of everything we experience in every moment of every day. You slow down time, it gives you more opportunity to think about whether or not the ways we've been thinking about the world are actually consistent with right. the world that we live in, right? And the way we want our world to be. And then our actions kind of fall under question too. And we start to think about, is this action serving me? Not just doing it impulsively because that's the way we've always done it, but actually taking a step back and asking ourselves, is this thing I've been doing all this time actually getting me where I want to go? Right?
Yeah.
And then that's that kind of change by bringing us back into the present moment, that kind of change automatically through the unification of mind and body through these practices, it automatically restores agency and a sense of self-autonomy that increases our ability to have control over our lives.
Yeah, this is a great product. Everyone should have one of these. Seriously, there are moments in your life where you wish you could just snap out of it. Like in that movie Moonstruck where Cher slaps Nicolas Cage and says, snap out of it. Like you just want someone to slap your face and help you snap out of it. This is less pain, and it works.
Yes.
It really, really works. If you're one of these people who finds your mood is conflicting with the way you want to feel, this is a great product for you. It will help you relax. It will help you energize. You can literally change your mood on demand. Show me anything that can do that. You know, people say, well, I can smoke weed. Well, yeah, then you're going to be sleepy and groggy for hours. You can't unsmoke weed, or there's no anti-weed.
Right.
Then, now I'm going to smoke anti-weed and I'm going to go to the gym. This allows you to harness your own energy and make it work for you instead of against you. It's a great product. I love it. I love it a lot.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Again, the website is shrnetwork.biz/ApolloNeuro. You'll save 15% off. I promise you, you won't be disappointed if you get one. Again, it lets you take control of how you want to feel throughout the day. And it has a fantastic app, which makes it idiot-proof for somebody like me. So just thank you so much for being a sponsor. Thank you for being on the show today, too.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Take care, Carl.
One last thing I have to do. I have to answer a couple questions for Patty Catalano. Patty Catalano said earlier in the show, when I still had the good doctor on, that she uses Benadryl as a sleep aid. It's a horrible idea. Benadryl is a horrible sleep aid. It impairs sleep. You don't go through normal sleep cycles. It will absolutely, if used long-term, ongoing, it will absolutely cause you to have memory problems. There's no doubt about it. Benadryl makes you groggy. Benadryl increases adenosine in the brain, which makes you sleepy, but it works the same way that alcohol does. And the other problem with Benadryl is that it also has effects on certain glands, like the thyroid and the adrenal glands. So you're better off using melatonin. Melatonin is a great option to help you sleep. The other thing is get yourself an Apollo Neuro. I know a lot of people who use the Apollo Neuro right before bed. It just relaxes them. It gets them ready to go to sleep. It's another fantastic tool to use to help you with sleep. But Benadryl's a horrible idea, Patty. Don't use it. Try something else, really. That's it for today. It's been a great show. Don't forget, go to shrnetwork.biz/ApolloNeuro to get yours for 15% off. You won't be disappointed. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for watching and listening today.